This interview is with Crescenzo Charles Dancelica, Charlie Dancelica, recorded by Maria Crisci on the 9th of January 2018 in his home in Newton. This interview forms part of the City of Campbelltown Council Oral History Project, Our Fruitful Record, a history of market gardening in Campbelltown. Thank you for agreeing to take part in this Market Gardening Oral History Project. Now, what is your full name?
That's Crescenzo.
And what is your date of birth?
1923, September 22.
Where were you born, Charlie? Where were
San Marco dei Cavolti.
And is that northern Italy, southern Italy?
Where's
that?
South Italy.
What was your dad's name?
Antonio Angelo.
And your mum?
Dorina. Dorina.
And did you have brothers and sisters? What are the names of your siblings?
The brothers?
Yeah, and sisters.
Yeah, one Giovanni, Marco, and Michael. And then my two sisters, Angelina and Pellegrina.
Pellegrina. And when did your dad come to Australia?
About 1927.
And what about you?
1936.
1936. Do you know why your dad migrated to Australia?
I think he used to be home, and I think my uncle, my grandfather, he was the boss, and the other brother, Sir Giuseppe, he used to be a bodybuilder, you know? He used to be a bodybuilder, but my grandfather would give the same amount of kill a pig, half each, all that there. And my dad said, well, by the way, he got his own job and he's still eating us. So he decided to go to America. And then dad went to America and then a war broke out. And the factory where he worked in America, they used to make a lot of rye there. But then when a war broke out, they all finished up, no job. So he went back home and he was called in the Italian army. And then after that, my dad didn't renew the passport to go back to America. And then he couldn't go to America. So this Joe La Vista, he happened to come to Australia. And Joe La Vista, he used to take a bit of money.
900 liras.
To nominate.
Yeah.
And of course, you had to pay, about 500 liras or something, okay, 700 liras, honey. And they come in. But if a nominate didn't find a job, you go back home. The government didn't want to know you. You come on. Take a chance.
Yes.
That's
yes.
How it was. The same as America.
Yes.
If you went to America, you were by yourself. If you couldn't find a job, you get on a boat and go back to Italy.
Go back to Italy. So that was the First World War. So he came here after
World War One.
To Australia. So that was in 1927 he came to Australia.
Yeah, but Dad went there while he was single there. He wasn't even married. And Dad married his wife, and she only lasted 6 weeks, and she died with the Spanish flu.
Oh. Was that in Italy, was it? In Italy?
In Italy. And then she married again. It's my mum was the second wife.
Okay.
But the first one, she only was married for 6 weeks, and she died with Spanish flu. They died by the dozens. They're busy. They couldn't get anybody to dig graves. That's how bad it was. Spanish flu, they call it.
Yeah. And so when did your father marry your mother the second, after that, the second time?
Well, she must have married...
That was Dorina, dear Dorina.
Oh, I wouldn't know, but I should say it must be 96 years ago.
Oh, okay, 96 years ago.
Yeah, but that's because they had the first, my sister there.
Pellegrina, she was the first.
That's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. And your father came to Australia first?
1927, I think.
And he came on his own?
On his own.
And what did he do when he came here?
He worked with Packer in a garden at Bathurston.
The Packer family. And what was he doing, working in the garden?
Yeah, well, carrying the cauliflowers at the back. And when it rains, it pours all down his
shoulder.
What a terrible job. I done that too.
You did it as well.
Only a little bit.
Yeah.
In the morning, they used to pick this cauliflowers or cabbage. And that time you had no coat and nothing, and you just put them over your shoulder, and the water was to drain down their blood. They were bloody cruel.
You were born in Italy?
Yeah.
And how old were you when you came out to Australia?
About 11 and a half.
Who did you come with to Australia?
We come with on a boat.
Yeah, and did you come with your family, your mum?
Yeah, come with my sister, Mark, John, Pearl and myself, four of us. Yeah.
Four of you came.
And we come here, and the funny part that when we landed the Port Pirie, we come to South Australia. It rained all the way from Port Pirie, right out there. It just kept raining and raining. And I'll never forget this bus that picked us up. And, you know, Australia had all the animals outside, you know, sheep and everything. And my late mum said, where were the sheep? Well, sheep and cows all outside. When I talked to mum, he said, this is not Italy, this is Australia. Everything out in the open.
They were all out in the open. Yeah.
But I tell you what, if this happened in Italy, you wouldn't get them lifted up. You had them lock them up and you had to have a shepherd, have to have what it called. When we used to take a cow's sheep and that, we used to always look after them,
This is in Italy, so used to shepherd the sheep and look after the cow.
After the sheep, we used to look after the cows, and late mum used to give us the willingness to take the from where we stay, San Marco, where we used to go a farming place out at a masseria out there. We go there, and we had this straw house, and the house where we used to keep the cows and the donkey, but the sheep, we used to have them outside, and we had quite a big wall, all with stones around. And one night, the wolf comes around and frighten our sheep. And lucky our dog, my grandfather's dog, he had a collar around with all nails around, you know. Otherwise, the wolf would kill our dog. And what is that? The whole bloody sheep, they jumped about nearly so. They jumped this place where it had all stones around. And after a while, my grandfather got a little landing, load her up. And we follow the sheep, and they must win from here to Glen Earl, you know. They got frightened. And they, we followed with the dad, grandpa, and we used to watch when the sheep, you know, where they used to drop in.
Mm.
And eventually We got nearly a walk of about an hour, 2 hours, and eventually we found this this sheep there. But my grandfather always had a favourite sheep, had a name. She was the most intelligent of the rest of them. You wouldn't even believe it, some animals are brighter than others. And my grandfather called out to her. She had a bill on around the neck. And she come around, and we got the sheep who wasn't touched because our dog shoo them off. Sure. But they're a fairly dog. They're the same dogs they use here for to keep the fox away at the Kingaroy Island.
Oh, right.
They're good watchdogs, you know. Yeah. They're very big.
So going back to when you arrived in Port Pirie. When you first arrived, where did you go and live? Who did you live with, or where did you live?
We went to live a place down in Newton there.
Because your dad was here at the time. Your father
was here. We lived in one of the night time. We lived in one of the house that Dominic Dion is going to get his family out. I forgot their name now. On the Gorge Road. At night time, we know where the dad had nothing. We slept on the floor with a mattress down there. And then dad found this place they called Parkinson, that down by the church there. The church down there.
You mean Athelstan Church or St. Martin's Church?
The brothers there.
Oh, you mean the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Oh, St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, I say there was Tom Fruggieri.
Oh, yes.
This bloke used to have a dairy. He used to deliver milk. It's Parkinson. And we shared the place there. And then we went to live a house up what I call Bells Road. That's Stradbroke.
Stradbroke Road now, that's correct.
That used to belong to Mrs. Ryan.
Oh, okay.
And Mrs. Ryan... Saturday afternoon, she would go and collect rent all day Saturday afternoon. She had about 50 houses and bloody, you name it. She had all that property with Ryan Avenue.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That was all her property.
She had all on Stradbroke Road. She had about there, and she had another 3 or 4 houses on Grey Street.
And did she own a market garden? What did she do?
Yeah, she used to have 11 people working for her.
11 people. And what kind of garden did she have? What can you remember?
Cauliflowers, potatoes, tomatoes. And she had a big dam on Ryan Avenue. And they used to use the water to water. But when she used to grow trombones and all that, she used to plant the tomatoes here. And she had a well, the water was a bit salty, not very good. She used to water a distance from the thing there. The water would drain to the thing there. And she used to have onions, and she used to grow potatoes, tomatoes, all that. She had a row of figs. We used to pick figs, used to sell them. Mm-hmm. She had a row of locusts as well.
Right. So she how much land did she have? She had a lot of, how much land did she have?
Oh, she must have had about 40, 50 acres there.
Right.
But then she had where the quarries. On the sugar loaf that she had there. Then she had a property down Paynham. She had houses all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe it. She left all her property to the two knees, and she made it. They wasn't allowed to sell it. She didn't want them to sell it. So what they did, they got himself into debts. And then they sold it. And one went to put a big farm up southeast, about 12,000 sheep. Jim, and the other one, Bob. After that, Jim passed away, and the other one and his sons got the lot. In about 2 years, he splashed the whole lot.
Oh.
Casino all over the world. It just went like that.
All that hard work of Mrs.
Ryan's. Yeah, that's what they told me.
It's all hearsay, yeah. So that's Mrs. Ryan. Did your dad own any land? You said that your dad worked on Montacute.
Well, Dad had land in Italy.
In Italy? And what about in Australia?
In his grandfather's name.
Yes.
He couldn't touch it, you know.
Okay.
And then he bought some land over there. He bought 14 acres of land. And they made a well there and they built a little house on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was going to come back. And then he realised, he said, well, then I got three boys. What are they going to do there?
Oh, in Italy. So he came back to Australia. Okay. So, and did your dad own any land in Australia at all?
Yeah.
So
17 acres.
17 acres. And where was that?
Down Church Road. 5 acres and 12 acres here up by the shopping.
Okay. You mean the shopping centre at Coles and
my place, yeah.
Near your place, near Bill's Road, it was called Stradbroke Road.
Yeah.
When did he buy that land? Did he lease it or did he own it?
Oh, he bought off a bloke, Foster, Fullerton.
Oh, his name was Mr. Fullerton.
And you wouldn't believe it, Mary. What's the name? My dad sold an acre of land to my sister and her brother. And when they measure out, my dad had a quarter of a block of land belonged to next door. It wasn't his.
Oh.
So then what do you call it? When the surveyor come along, the coroner bought it. He said, what do you call this? Told Dad. He said, I had to plant the carrots under your window there. That's my sister and Dad. Anyhow, that time land didn't work very much. So Dad paid that piece of land to the gardener and left it like that. But otherwise, it's right up the bloody windows.
The windows.
Oh.
And did your dad work on the land? On the land? What did
no,
he
worked for weeks. Early.
Yeah. Packer? Packer, you said? Packer?
He worked for Hobbs.
Hobbs.
Down there. He worked for Packers.
Yeah.
And he worked for Wickers. And then gradually started working for himself after the war.
Okay.
You know, through the war.
Yeah.
At that time, Dad had no horse, nothing, you know. It was, what do you call it? He grew some... rock melons. We used to sell them at by the reservoir there, and Dad used to take them there with a push bike, you know, put them on the
What a good idea. So he didn't have any equipment or anything, but he grew rock melons. How clever was that? Watermelon or rock melon?
Rock melon.
And did he? Who used to buy it? Who bought the rock?
He planted them just like that. At that time, it's so easy. Only got a couple of rains. We used to get about 4 or 5 pounds a week, every weekend.
Yeah.
More than Dad used to get to work, double. And then they started growing rock melons, and they started selling them, what do you call it. And after that, we didn't bother anymore.
So.
And then Dad started going to market. And eventually had a trolley, had a made by stock with 4 wheels.
Yes.
And he had a horse. And the old horse used to work the garden, and he goes to the market as well.
Excellent. So which market was that? That was the East End. Where was
East
the
End
market?
Market?
East End Market. Yeah. Do you remember where that was? It was...
around the middle there.
Yeah.
Near where Garden Supply was.
Okay. Was that near the hospital or East End? Was it East End?
It was about 2 acres of there.
Oh, that was 2 acres of...
there was all fruit growers, market thing, civil shoppers, soldier produce. There's so many.
What's a soldier's produce? What's that?
That's... They used to sell fruit, okay. Oranges, a lot of that.
Okay. So.
Then another one, I forgot their name. They used to buy carrots, potatoes, and all that. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Potts, he was a potato merchant. He used to sell onions and potatoes. Yeah.
Did your dad grow potatoes or onions?
Oh, yeah.
So you said that your father used to work for Packers and Hobbs and the Wicks and all that. Do you remember when he started the market garden in
at wartime, Strabo? About 1940, I suppose.
1940. That's when he started. So he had a horse.
He started growing a few carrots and all that.
Okay.
And then he finished up, he got a little trolley done by stock. He used to go to the market with a horse and trolley.
So when you say done by stock, is that Mr. Stock that...
yeah, Demi.
Yeah, he used to...
They made him a trolley with four wheels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Mr. Stock used to be on Lower North East Road.
Yeah, Demi.
AJ Stock. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that was in the 40s. What were you doing at the time? So you would have been what?
I worked for weeks for 4 years.
4 years. So how old were you? You were 12 when you came out. Did you go to school when you came?
Yeah, 2 years.
Okay, so you were...
First year I couldn't understand a word. The following year I learned all the bad words. And then what it called.
Tell me your experience, what it was like. When you came
out? I got to hide the first time I went to school and I couldn't understand a word of English. A little boy came up and like that to me. I hit him across the face. He got a report to the headmaster. And the headmaster, he said to me, put the hand out. And I thought he wanted to shake hand. And he got a bloody cane as long as this table. And I got the cane the first time I went to school. And we was the first Italian family that went to Campbelltown School. There were no others.
Okay, so you and your sisters who went to school. So what do you remember about your childhood, your neighbourhood, your life in those early years with your brothers and sisters? What do you remember about your childhood with your brother and sister? You went to school together. What can you remember about your childhood?
We went to school, and my sister, myself, and Mark,
yeah.
And we, what's her name? We used to wear shorts in Italy, and Australia had long trousers, wear shorts, and a little button on the side. And I'll never forget my son-in-law went to get one of the packers used to do physio, you know. He said, I asked her, you know, Patsy, my son-in-law, he married my daughter, you know. He said, yeah, I remember, went to school with your father-in-law. He said, I'll never forget when he come to Australia, they used to have a little trouser, shorts, with a little button on the side. You know, it just stood out, you know. And anyhow, in the first year, I couldn't understand a word of English. But the second year, I was learning quite good. There was a teacher there, Miss Corbin. She was a lovely lady. She was really one of the teachers, you know. Mm-hmm. But by that time, I went to work at 14 years of age. I went to work at Wicks, 4 years in a nursery there.
Yeah.
Plants and all that thing. You know.
And what kind of plants? You mean like...
He grew roses and apples and pears and plums and walnuts, lemons, oranges. You know, he had 18 people working for him.
Okay, in the nursery.
And we used to send all this fruit all over Australia, the plants.
The plants, yes.
And this plant, he had a thing that was as big as this table, done like that. And my dad, His job was, in the summertime, he'd go down the River Torrens and cut all the reeds.
The reeds, yeah.
And they'd dry up.
Yes.
So when they used to dig all these plants, dig it without dirt around. The oranges used to leave the things, the olives used to leave wood things around, but the others used to be clean. And whenever he used to get orders, he used to send them all over Australia, peaches and plums and roses and you name it.
All
you know,
plants, yeah.
Persimmons.
Okay.
All that sort of thing. Walnuts.
So what was the terrain like around, around the area? What could you see?
Highbury.
That was at Highbury. Wicks Estates was at Highbury. Yeah.
And when it rained a lot, we used to go across on a swing bridge.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to leave the push bikes this side here where the old Pioneer Cemetery is opposite there.
Yes, yes.
And then we used to go...
Just up the here. So from Athelstan,
yeah. You
used to go across the footbridge to Highbury.
To get across.
To get across.
And then this land has all been taken out by the government, all the flatland, must be nearly 40, 50 acres, I don't know.
And what did they do with it? They took the land?
It belonged to the government.
The government, there. Right.
But he had 150 acres, you know.
The Wicks, yeah.
And he had he had peaches and plums and grape and locusts.
Wow.
You name it.
Yeah. So near the river, that's what he grew around all that area at Highbury.
He grew a lot of plants and he used to sell a lot of fruit as well.
Yeah.
He used to have a bloke called Ron Fry or something like that. He was a market man, and he used to go nearly twice a week through selling all the fruit, peaches and plums and...
to the market, to this east.
Oranges and lemons and mandarines, and, you know, persimmons, vines, not there. What is it? Yeah, well,
and how did they used to take all those to the market? How did they used to
truck?
They had trucks in those times.
He had
a big truck that he would transport it to the market. Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a great big house, but he still stands in there.
Just at Highbury?
On the slope there.
Yeah.
They call it Wicks Estate.
Yes, yes.
We went one day there to have a look.
It's different. So, it's so different than what it was.
Oh, what do you call it?
What's there now?
It was all houses.
It's all houses. Yeah. That good soil. What was the soil like? It was...
Yeah, I think it was... the flats was a sandy loam, but the slope, I think, was more like black soil, all that.
Now, Padin, can you tell us, when did you... this is your childhood. So you left, you were 14 and you left and you worked on the Wicks. How long did you stay working at the nursery? How long did you do that for?
Until 18 years of age.
And then what happened after that? What happened?
Well, we had a blue and he told me finish with me and I'll finish with him.
Okay. But
then I went to work a market garden or a fruit grower down Paynham. Only last 1 week, didn't work out.
Right.
By that time, I went to work at Simpson. And by that time, I was supposed to go in the army. And the bloke that, the foreman there, he wanted to get me out. He wanted me to stay there. They were doing military stuff,
Okay, Simpson.
In the nickel department. And he couldn't get me out. No, he said, I should have made that I only can walk on one leg. I've got to stay. And he said to me, he said, Charlie, if you go to the war, whenever you come back, he said, just bring your lunch. There's always be a job for you. And I never went back. And then Simpson was all braked away. Simpson was down Wakeford Street. They had about 20 acres there.
Wow.
A big factory. They used to make a wood stove, and they used to make a, what else has to do? Washing machines.
Washing machines, yeah. Simpson.
You know, Billy cans and all, God, and all that. But then they were doing the army stuff.
Yeah. So you went into the army. You went into the army at, what, 18? 18 years of age you went into the army.
I went down Warradale there, and I happened to know most of the Atherton bloke, and it was a bloke, Ollie Ockley. He was at Woodside, and he was, you know, he was called up a lot older there. And he came a sergeant, and this day was down here, and you know, I am a bit, is he going? I went up, as Ollie went past us, hello Ollie. He never answered. He walked down from here to the corner there. He turned around, he said, from now on, Sergeant Ockley to you.
Oh dear, you knew your position, didn't you? And how long were you in the army for? How long? So you went to Warradale, then you said you went to Western
Australia. 18 years of age, about a little over 3 years.
Over 3 years. And you also went to Western Australia in the army. You went to Western Australia.
New South Wales. Victoria. Oh, all those places.
And do you remember the regiment you were with? Which regiment were you with?
Yeah, and the aircraft gun.
Okay.
But we start off with the 21-pound. They used to shoot, you know, there. And they change over and they made this anti-aircraft guns. And it was about four of them, these guns. And they could shoot nearly half a mile, you know, up there. And we had six of those batteries. Oh, with four each battery. So whenever, if the plane came, would be four these batteries that could shoot this plane. If three didn't miss, the other one would hit it. And we used to have this thing we used to drag with a truck. Drag of it, you know. And we used to take the wheels off back and front, and we used to let this gun down. We had all the jacks there, and then take the jack away, and this gun will be land on the soil, because when they shoot, it will wobble on the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be on firm. In a real firm.
And did you actually, this was training, did you actually go to war, or this was just a reserve?
We stayed in Western Australia.
Stayed in Western Australia.
After they had done the warfish.
And you were a new immigrant. Did you get on well with all the other soldiers and all that?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Only some.
Yes. Okay.
No, they treated me terrible. I stayed home after I come on leave, and I never went back.
Okay.
I was supposed to go back to Western Australia.
Yeah.
I didn't go back.
And what did you do when you came home? You worked on the land?
Oh, I worked with a loman there. The place. The dad never had anything then.
Yeah.
And then...
So your dad was still working for other gardeners?
I worked for weeks.
Weeks, yeah.
And the funny part of that, when my late wife, she worked with the Spitzana, and the two policemen, when police policemen would come pick me up, and they put me in jail, and they gave me 28 days jails, LA jail.
Right, because you had left your post.
Nighttime, I was stinging with them. They never gave me a cushion. I used to use my boots for the cushion.
Wow, yeah, hard and, times. Yeah.
And anyhow, I complained. And there's a bloke there, a couple of Australian blokes. They were New Guineas, and New Guineas to rain every day. That's how bad it was. They couldn't bury the people, but the water to bring them up.
Oh, dear.
And you know what they had to do? Put their mates in heaps, throw petrol over, burn them.
Oh, wow. Is that what someone told you in the jail?
Oh, this is the truth.
This is true, yeah.
This bloke happened to be there.
Yeah.
And he said, what the hell are you bloody complaining for, Charlie? He said, how would you like to go to New Guinea?
Wow.
He said, the Japanese shoot one side, what do you call it, and the nighttime mosquitoes, you'll pick you up.
Wow.
Mosquitoes are terrible. Yeah. A lot of them have got malaria there.
That's right. It was hard.
You know, when they get malaria, buddy, you know how hot the other day was? This bloke there to put blanket over things. That's how cold it is.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's an awful.
Malaria.
Yeah, it's an awful disease. Now, were you married then or not?
No, I was very good.
You were still single.
Single.
When did you marry? After, how old were you when you got married?
About 21.
So it was just a few years after. So you worked with, you worked in the garden with the Lohman family, and then where else, market gardening?
I didn't work anymore. When I came out of the army, I went to work Mitchell's.
Oh, the Mitchells, the wool people. Okay. What did you do there?
Fearmongery.
Okay.
Was to take the wool off the skins.
Yes.
When we take the wool off, the wool was taken, is washed and put in, sent away. The skin was sent to the tannery. The tannery, they'd take, wash them again. And all the skin, they used to send them to France. And France is to make shoes out of and all that stuff.
Yeah, wow.
And then after that, I went to work Dalgetty's, cleaner, you know, just cleaner.
Yeah.
And I worked there 7 years,
right,
off and on. I started, my garden was going all right, and then grasshoppers turn up, and they skinned the whole lot. Carrots and lettuce,
wow,
and everything. I never forget that I was still working and I was hoping to do
so you, a job. So you were working at Dalgetty's and at the same time you had a bit of a garden.
The garden.
And who was looking after the garden?
Well, when I was going to nearly go full time.
Okay.
When start harvest.
Yes.
And when I arrived home, my late wife was crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, he said, have a look, what do you call it, the back of my old house there. I had about an acre of carrots. The grasshopper just
stripped all the top of the leaves. Wow.
And they stripped the whatever trees, anything around it, just stripped. They even went to New York to even strip the grapes.
What year was that? When was that?
Oh, I should say it'd be around... 60 years ago.
Okay. So...
I'm not quite sure. Yeah.
No. So you came back from... you came out of jail, worked at Dalgetty's, worked at Mitchell's. Then when you got married, did you get married after that or when did you get married?
Yeah, we got married. And
what year was that? Do you remember?
And the funny part, we couldn't get a big hall, so we had in a shed.
Where did you live? Where did you live with your wife?
I lived with my sister. I rented a piece, one room and a little veranda in the back with a wood stove there. That was my first home.
And where was that? Where was that?
That was where that dentist is there.
Oh, so on Montacute Road, corner of Montacute and...
Well, you know... you know where the shops is there?
Mm.
We had a row of almonds there, right up. But the government took 3/4 of an acre of land from Dad when they straightened the Montacute. But for course, it was this bend. This bend, the shop would go a road past the shop, go to the top there, then turn down there, and around. They call this bend.
The S Bend, right. And that was all your land? That was all your land?
Well, not all of it. The top there was belonged to Spezzani.
Oh, Spezzani, right.
And then Spezzani sold it to Pietrafese. the Gonner. Oh, there was so many.
But you still kept your land. And you had, how many acres did you have? How much land did you have?
How many acres I had?
Mm.
5 acres.
5 acres. And your dad?
12.
12 acres.
He had a, he put another 5 acres off a bloke called Hobby. And he made 12. Dad used to grow quite a lot of onions.
Oh, so that was the main thing?
He used to grow about 70 ton, you know.
Of onions.
Oh, dad was in big way.
Yeah. Did you help your dad? Who?
Only help a weekend.
Oh, okay. So you worked on the weekend.
I used to go to work.
Yes. So you used to help him on the weekend.
Well, we done the dirty work and the rest of it got rich. That's how it happened.
Who's the rest? Who are the rest? Who are you talking about that got rich?
Oh, my brother.
Oh, okay.
Mark. He put Mark in a partnership at 16 years of age.
Wow.
They was going to market. They'd come home with 100 bloody pound each. Stuff was selling.
Mm.
But Charlie used to go work at £5 a week.
Yeah. And now, tell me, you got married in what year? What year did you get married? So you married Pearl, a Pellegrina,
yeah.
Tomaselli? Was her name Tomaselli?
Yeah.
And you lived on Gilbert Street, or where did you end up living?
No.
Where was your house?
I lived with my sister.
Your sister?
Then we bought the house.
Yeah.
The old house I show there, we bought that. And in that time, there was a price control. And this bloke, White, Eddie White, he wanted £1,250. And he wouldn't accept it. So the land agent said to me, he said, Charlie, do you still want that property? It was full of artichokes, you know. The bloody house, no electric light, nothing, you know. Full of bloody rats. Oh, it was bloody, you know, it was just country place. And he said, if you want it, you take a £450 black market. And I said to this land agent, I forgot their name now. I said, what happened if he changed his mind? You lose the £450. There was a lot of money then. Mm-hmm. And then we got going and we started cleaning her out. And we got Trotman. They had a Ellis Charm tractor there. And it wasn't strong enough to get out all the bloody artichokes there.
Artichokes, yeah.
So anyhow, we finished up. We got the ambers there with horses. And they had this bloody ploughs, Frank. Oh, right to the corner of the thing there. Three horses. Two horses and one in the, like that. And they used to dig these great big stumps of artichokes. Anyhow, then we start growing a bit of lettuce and a bit of that. And because the soil was like that, there was a grub underneath there. And then we grew this bloody about half acres of lettuce there. And the bloody lettuce wouldn't move.
Mm.
What do you call it?
The grub was...
Yeah, little grubs used to eat into the roots.
Wow.
And eventually we were to find out what's wrong. We call the agriculture bloke, and he had a look at... He pulls this thing and there was all little grubs eating in the bloody roots there. He could have sold the lettuce, but... The lettuce wouldn't grow with that. Then we had to put, what's it called, lindane
in there. Oh, lindane in there,
poison.
Yeah, a poison.
Mixed up with this thing to get rid of it. And then, we couldn't get, couldn't buy any fertilizer, nothing. And eventually I had a truck. We used to go right up to Gawler to get a bit of chicken menu. Or pigeon menu.
So you didn't have in your own chickens or your own...
No. I was rather gall at this. This Mrs. Cook, I took a chicken menu for nearly 40 years. And I had to go all the way to Gawler, pick up this vertical chicken menu.
So you were trying to fertilize the soil to grow. Was it black soil? What kind of soil was it? What was the soil like? The soil, was it black soil?
Very heavy.
Very heavy.
You mix the... It wouldn't grow unless you put fertilizer.
Yeah, that's right.
Then I used to get the rabbit's heads from rabbit old style, and I used to dairy them in. And a lot of time I used to put all this rabbit heads and things. I used to put the manure over the top. It used to rot away. And then I used to spread it in the there. Mm. And I planted the, I was one of the biggest, what do you call, rock melon grower. That's about, 60 years or more.
And you used to sell the rock melon?
Well, the funny part, after we worked with Rocky for a little while, then we split up, and that time they pinched me money, and I was going to go and make Tyrone and all that.
Yeah.
And didn't work out. It cost me about £3,000. We bought a thing to make the Tyrone. We bought almonds. We bought honey. We bought everything in this bloody mob. They're supposed to make a Tyrone. One night we went to Pitches. They went through our place and found the money.
Oh, right. It's unfortunate, isn't
then
it?
Then I went away a trip. The middle of the night, they took money out of my pocket. I put Whit Sunday.
Oh, you went on a holiday Whit Sunday.
I went with Nita Somariva then.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't believe it. And I was together with Cosimo Carista. He's dead now. Mm. And in the middle of the night, his wallet was taken. I never had a wallet. I had the money in the little pocket here. And some change. I was going to ring my family. I took that and I had a watch. I took a watch as well. In the middle of the night, you wouldn't believe it.
So who in your family worked the market garden? There was you, there was your dad, there was Mark.
I never worked with my dad.
No, but who else? There was Mark that worked the market garden, you said?
Mark used to work with dad. Used to go to the market.
Used to go to the market. What did he grow? Where did he grow the vegetables? What did he grow? He grew onions.
He was together with dad.
Yeah.
Dad used to grow strawberries and all that. And because I worked with what I call Molinara years ago, I went 6 weeks. They never paid me.
Yeah.
That's why I needed a good lawyer to get that money. Never got paid. And when I come from work in Mitchell, at night time, we were up to 11 o'clock, is to put all the strawberries in the little punnets.
Punnets, yeah. So where were the strawberries? They're on your dad's land, were they? Dad's land.
And he had about half acre.
Of strawberries. Wow. So you'd put all of them in punnets, used to help, and then sell them at the market.
They used to pick them in the day and at night time.
You'd pack
three
them.
3 or 4 hours, put them all in little things there.
Punnets to sell. Yeah. Now, you also mentioned that you worked for the packers. And the Munchenbergs, did you work for the Munchenbergs?
No.
So you had 5 acres of land in Gilbert Street, is that right? That's where you grew rock melon and lettuce.
Potatoes.
Potatoes, yeah.
What do you call it, beetroots and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
What challenges, what did you find hard about market gardening? You didn't like market gardening, did you?
It was terrible because we had to do everything with a fork, where now it's all done by machinery. But the black soil, machinery wouldn't work there.
Mm.
Anyhow, I bought one of those little, little thing to work in between.
Rotary hoe, was it like a rotary hoe?
No, a little tiny thing that, I forgot what they used to call them. And I had sold them, it used to clog up and work it.
They used to till the soil till the soil.
We used to, what do you call it, then we used to grow onions, and the onions had to be, when they come up, we used to hoe them and weed them and all that.
Mm.
And after that, you could spray them. And then the was to spray the some stuff, I forgot the name, it come from America. And then the onions would come up, or whatever there, and that has helped to grow. You know, it used to do like carrots, used to grow with the carrots spray. Most of the carrots are now, they don't weed them, they just spray the grass.
Mm. But did you used to spray them as well, or just weed it? Did you used to do
early years we didn't, but after that we spray them, yeah.
Mm.
And then what, that's only why you grow some. So when we worked with Rocky, we grew about 7 acres of carrots. That's a long time ago. We went to what I call a market nearly 11 months of the year. We'd take carrots in 3 times a week.
Mm.
Carrots, parsnips, lettuce.
That's Rocky Costanzo. Is that,
yeah,
Rocky? Your brother-in-law. Is that your brother?
Worked about 4.5 years.
Four and a half years together working.
Yeah, and then when I come by myself, I grew about an acre of rock melons. And everybody said, "What are you doing, Charlie?" I said, "I'm growing rock melons." He said, "You know how to sell them?" And you wouldn't believe it. I never had such a crop of what you call rock melons like that.
Mm.
You couldn't walk, there was rock melons. You tread on them, that's how.
Lovely, so it was good. So the soil was good for rock melon?
Lucky that I never got another crop like it. The worst thing, I used to water too much the others. Rock melon don't like too much water. And any other bloke used to sell my stuff, Norm Phil. He said, "Charlie, I can't put the rock melons on my truck. You have to take them down to where they stand in the East End Market, and has to take the 120 crates of a rock melon."
That's in what?
It's sold a whole lot.
A week? In a week or?
No, in one lot.
In one lot, 120
then we
crates.
Then picked another 70 crates. Then we picked another 50 crates. That time, the commission taken, I finished up with £800. That was good.
That was good money. And who used to help you to do that?
I used to work home there.
Oh, you used to do it yourself. Yeah. Did your wife work on the land as well or not?
Yeah, she worked.
She used to help as well.
Then we used to grow parsnips and all that. And my late wife used to tie them up. You know, the parsnips,
yeah.
They were tied just without the top.
Mm.
But the carrots, we had to do more with the top.
Top on, yeah.
Tops. Now they don't do the tops anymore. No. It's all changed.
Yeah. And so how many years would have you done market gardening then? Because after, so...
About 30 years ago, I gave it away.
30 years ago, you gave it away, so...
I sold the property to Spangling, and I only sold half of it, about 2 acres, and then I want to keep the old house, and all the trouble in the world, I wasn't allowed to keep it. I had to bring the sewage there,
okay,
water there, good and what.
And that costs money too.
And then Spangling said, "What about if I... if I give you $10,000 for your house?" I said, "No." And my late wife spoke out and said, "Dave, what about if you build us a little unit there, we could retire when we get old?" And and he said, "We have to give me $10,000. I said, "Dave Lem, that's not a penny." He said, "Well, I'll think about it." After a while, he come back, he said, "I'll knock the house down and I'll build your unit there."
Mm.
And I had that unit there, I had it rented there in several people. Had some good ones there, very good.
So that's how you used to get income, from the rental of the property, yeah. Okay.
And then, I bought a unit on Montecute, And I sold two units, two blocks of land for one unit, and I had to borrow $28,000 to buy this bloody unit in Montecute. But I had trouble then, Montecute, that it was, people wouldn't pay rent and people wanted this and bloody hell. And eventually I got sick of it. I sold the block, the one in Montecute. I put in the bank for me. I sold the one at the White Lane. I gave it to both of my daughters. Then the other piece of land there, I cut up a road to give a block of land each to my grandchildren. It cost me over $100,000 to make that road. That's what I call it. So that's why I'm poor.
Well, you've got a beautiful home, and you've got a lovely garden in your backyard, and you've got a family around you, which is lovely. When you were, could you tell me a little bit about how it's changed in the area for you? You know, like when you
the market garden, the little garden has all starved off. They all got starved off. Mm. We have no chance anymore.
Why was that, do you think?
Well, a little garden, the big garden come in and they put money in the pocket of the Coles, Woolworth and all that. You couldn't go near them anymore. They would look at you. Little fry. That's to call little fries. Mm. Most of the market garden, they all went out bigger than the Virginia. They went up to the river, southeast, all those places.
So what are some of the changes you've noticed in market gardening over the years in the Campbelltown area? Like from when you first came out, what were some of the, when you first came here, what did you see and how has it changed?
Well, we had poultry farm, we had vineyards, we had the, what do you call, farmers, people were milking cows.
And that's what you saw when you came out, when you first came out?
Yeah, or even down the Robbers and Jarvis there. They used to preserve fruit in tins. They used to have up to 90 Italian family there used to cut up the fruit and put them in tins. There was a Robbers and Jarvis. Yeah. That's where the school is there.
Yes, at Hectorville. At Hectorville,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And, but years ago, all Hectorville and all that, there's all fruit trees. Mm. And they used to all preserve it. And then the Fox, he had a vineyard there. Fox had cows where your dad worked for them. Mm. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
And then some plant almonds. What else they grew? Oh, we grew a lot of almonds there. Mm. A lot of onions, and we used to send them away. Not much, but a lot of the Australian there, on Grey Street there, about November, you go there, it'll be bloody bags and bags of onions. Used to send them to Victoria.
And who were some of the market gardeners along Grey Street that you remember that used to grow?
Oh, there was Popes and Phillips, it was there. Mrs. Ryan had there, but Mrs. Ryan, excuse Mrs. Ryan, they had 5 acres that was given to the bloke, Chummy Austin. He had bullocks down there.
Oh, they had bullocks, that's how they used to work the land.
Bullocks, he used to take bullocks to drink at Morialdon Creek.
Right.
Yeah. And I never forget.
So where did they get the water from? Where did they get the water?
He used to take the drink up the creek up Morialdon there.
Okay.
And it was funny, you know. He used to go up on top of Black Hill, and he used to bring me some wood on the back of this...
Bullocks.
And I was living with my sister, Place, and he wanted to bring this bloody bullocks. Not much room there. And of course, if it touched, my brother-in-law was bloody looking for trouble, you know. And I said to Mr. Chummy Austin, you know, Charlie, I said, drop him out in the footpath, I'll carry him in. No, no, he said, I'll carry him in for you. This bloody bullock's about four of them, I think, or six, I can't remember. He never had reins or nothing, just a whip and a front. And he had this bloody thing there. He'd take this bloody, what do you call him, you know, fell away in, you know, oh, I suppose 100 yards, you know, in, because the house, that time, all the houses had to be built right off the road, back. Mm-hmm. That's what they used to do. The old house, all been built right back.
Right back of the property.
And he got there, and you wouldn't believe he put this bullock there. He undone the things, and the bloody bullocks just turned around. He never touched the whip, nothing, just... And I said, Jesus, and he said to me, you know what? He said, I could get 50 pounds for this litre, this bullock.
Bullock, yeah.
I said, why such a big money? He said, they're so intelligent that they control the rest of it.
Wow.
And this has happened with the ducks. The ducks that we got a leader. When I used to work in the garden at night time, I had a water for the night. We had no water. Wind used to blow. We couldn't water. And I see the ducks at night time with the moon, and this duck was all in rows. Mm. You ever seen them?
Yes, yes. Yeah. There's always one leader. It's like that.
What do you call it? He used to go up Black Hill, and those bullocks would come down there. The horse couldn't go there, but the bullocks could. They got split in the thing there. Mm. And that's why they grip, you know. Yeah. Same as a goat,
that's right. So why did he go up Black Hill? What was he getting wood? Wood to...
And he used to sell wood to different people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you had no electricity then, did you?
Yeah, well, that time everybody used a wood stove,
Wood stove, yeah.
And what he used to do, when he got up top there, he used to load up this dray, and he'd tie a big tree behind that, and there was a break, and he used to come down... Opposite Lucy, you know, my sister-in-law there.
Costanzo's, yeah.
Early fish, you can see where they used to come down there. Mm.
Yeah, you can. Along Maryvale Road, isn't it? Maryvale Road.
Yeah.
And were there many market gardens along Maryvale Road? Were there a lot of market gardens along Maryvale Road? No.
Not really.
What was there? What was there?
There was... Arthur used to sell milk, and it wasn't there. And Fox was the other side. Mm-hmm. So Bill Allen used to do a bit of garden down there. And then others, Mrs. Ryan, where the college is there.
Okay, St. Ignatius College, that's where she lived.
Well, I picked up potatoes there with Mrs. Ryan. We used to go there, what do you call it? There's a church there and everything. I don't know if you've been there, lady. You been there?
I know where that is. You mean the Uniting Church?
By the creek, St. Ignatius.
Oh, St. Ignatius Church. Yes.
Where we pick up vertical potatoes there.
They used to grow potatoes.
He had a dam up top, and he was getting the water from the...
The dam?
The creek.
Oh, yes.
And he used to fill up this dam, and this dam he used to water his potatoes with. You know, sprinklers, all done on the ground.
All by ground. And how did he get the water from the creek to the dam? How did he used to carry it?
Well, you know where the little bridge is on what is it, Fourth Creek?
Yes, Fourth Creek, yes.
There, he used to bring it up with the sandbags.
Okay, and direct the water.
He used to run and fill up his dam, and his dam happened to be high.
Yes.
And when he used to grow potatoes, he used to pour his potatoes down there.
Wow.
Water down there.
So anyone that had a market garden near the river had water.
Well, then down further was, Jack Lorenz.
Oh, Lorenz, yes.
He used to grow wintertime stuff, cabbage and other stuff, but not much. And then down further was Schultz. That's Schultz Road.
Yes, what did they grow?
The other one, Mrs. Ryan had another three house opposite the, with 5 acres each, opposite the country garage there. And they used to grow a bit of onions and a few carrots, you know, not much, only a little small way. Yeah, it was very cool there.
And Charlie, outside of gardening and work, what activities did you get involved in outside of market gardening, and what activities, what did you do for your pastime? Did you play any sports? What kind of things did you do?
When I finished up a garden.
Oh, no, while you were doing that, did you just garden or did you play sports as well?
No, I work all the time.
All the time.
I used to grow parsnips a lot. I used to grow about 2 acres of parsnips.
Mm.
Hard work, but it was good money. We used to dig them, take them in a shed, and some day we had to dig this about 20, 30 crates of a thing, and I used to sink up to my tummy. Oh, we couldn't go there with a tractor or nothing, you know.
Because of the soil, the way that
used
to sink into
I never forget one day, Wilson, he was a member of the parliament, Ian Wilson. He come there with the rubber boots and I was digging his bloody parsnips. And it was terrible, you know. Every time he'd stick a foot, you could clean up to what he called it.
Why did he come to visit you?
He wanted me to vote for him.
Oh, okay.
He was belonged to Sturt there. Yeah. And he said, you know who I am? And I said, no. He said, I'm Ian Wilson. He said, I'm going to be your member there. I said, yeah. He said, you know, if you vote Labour, he said, if Labour gets in, he's going to take your land. And I was really bloody stinking. I said, no, Mr. Wilson, they can have the fucking thing.
So gardening wasn't one of your passions. Now, I understand that you used to play football for the Raggies. Tell us about that. Tell us about your time.
Well, I was married and I was living the whole thing there. And my late wife, she used to work with Backus. And Dean come and Lance Allen, he come there, he says, Charlie, we need you to come play football. And my wife said, no, he's not playing football. And he said, come on, Charlie, you have to help us out. And I went there and I played about 8 years.
With the Raggies.
And we used to go wherever we go, back of the open truck, bloody went through, what a bloody way.
Why were they called the Raggies? Did they?
Well, they told me I wasn't there. That's early piece. They had no Guernseys. They got a potato bags and they cut into curve. And that's what they call the Raggies. That's what they told me. I don't know.
You didn't have to wear potato bags when
no.
You played.
Never got that far.
And so you said you've got two daughters. When were they born? When were you?
Well, one was born in the old house.
Yes.
There, 1946. And the other one, she was born in a hospital And my wife had a hemorrhage, and my lima was taken out with instruments. She lost all her blood, my wife, as you knew. And Lena was seven weeks in the hospital. She never come home. I thought, what do you call it? They put her out with instruments, and on the back here was no hair there. And I tell you what, lucky to get Lena. She's a beautiful girl. Yeah. And then Robert, my grandson, he went down with a group. And he was going to die.
Wow.
And lucky that eventually they was in the Mortbury Hospital there, and they used to give him injection, put him out, and they used to put this thing down his throat.
He had croup. Was it croup?
Yeah,
croup.
Oh, terrible. You know?
Yeah, it's not
he
very...
He was lucky to lie because Lena had a room there to stay there. And I told just about a night before he come good, he said to my late daughter, he said, you better get prepared for the worst. I don't think you'll make it in the morning. Mm. And back we, the next morning we go there. It was a miracle. We went there next morning and the doctor said, we got some good news. He's getting white cells turn up, and even said, how many white cells there? 600 something. But he said, you got another thing. He said, now if your little grandson, your son, recognize you when we take him out, it's all right. If he doesn't recognize, he's a vegetable.
Wow.
It's terrible. And I was doing stuff in the garden, and I wouldn't do nothing while my grandson died away. It was bloody terrible. Mm. You know, it hasn't been all fun.
No. You've had a hard life, I'd say. But...
And Lena, after I sold the unit there, I gave the whole lot to Arfitch, to Doreen and that. What do you call it? 90 over 1,000 each. And Lena went away for 6 weeks. She come back. She goes to the dentist, and the dentist said, you haven't got toothache. It's something else. And poor old daughter, she had all the side of the old bloody, So the operator took there, and they took some stuff out of the legs and put her there. And she's gradually starting, And then the cancer spread. Then I took her to Mary Potter place. That was in Delina.
Mm. Well, how many grandchildren do you have? You have
four
grand. And any great grandchildren?
Three
great grandchildren. That's a wonderful record. It's beautiful.
And I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I've seen my great grandchildren grown up.
Mm.
One is about 19. And a girl, 19, that's Lena's there, and a boy is about 17. And I've been blessed that I'm still here, I still want to help them when I can.
Absolutely, that's beautiful. And then you've got Dorina with two girls too, and they've got, so you've got beautiful grandchildren around you, that's lovely.
Oh, yeah, the kids are all good. Yeah. Oh, I don't get on with Doreen, but with... She listened too much to bloody crab.
Now tell me, your sister's just passed away. Your sister, you were very close to your sister, Pellegrina.
Yeah. We got on. She was so good to me, you know. Mm. Every time that, Charlie come up and did it with them, she'll drop everything and cook dinner. After my boy passed away, I still want to try and do a bit of garden. She used to come down here and help me do hoe. But then I grew rock melons and I grew onions. But that time, the rock melons, they were coming from Port Pirie and all those places. You couldn't sell them, you know.
Yeah. So you gave it away then? Is that when?
I gave it away. I grew tomatoes, 2,000 plant. I grew them for, you know, people to make puree. One morning I picked 24 crates, the big crates. One of the crates broke, and I got a bloody hernia out of it. So anyhow, after all this time with this hernia, eventually with that done, I finished up, got blood clot and infection. I was 16 days in the hospital with what do you call this, and this bloody doctor was a bloody butcher. What he did, after all this happened, he said to me, "Do you want to go home?" And I said, "Dr. Raptus, how can I go home?" He said, "Have you got somebody to look after you?" I said, "No." I said, "I got a, what's his name? My two girls working." I said, "Then I'm on my own." So he said, "You want to stay a few more days?" After a few days, I had this Mary used to come see me, the English, what do you call it? She had my car and she used to come see me every day. You know, one of the nurses came out and said, "Dr. Raptus want to see you." And I went there, you wouldn't believe it, but I never seen a bloody butcher. He said, "Get on the bed and put your hands behind you like that." He got a scissors from a nurse there and just got like that. And it take all clotted blood there and all that. And then what do you call it? After I was 16 days, there was a African outcast nurse. He said, "Charlie, don't let that bloody butcher touch you. You got to give it proper way." So Dr. Burillo, Tony Burillo, mixed up there. He took me up top. He stitched me up, with clamps or something there. I don't know what it's called. And this nurse said to the Dr. Raptus, he said, "Doctor," he said, you should put the thing that draws the blood. He put plastic there so my stitches don't fall off. After what I got about another, 2-3 mornings, he sent the nurse out having a shower. He said, "The Dr. Raptus, you can go home. If, what do you call, I wasn't bleeding or nothing." I arrive home there, I go to bed at night, and Mary come look after me, this English, what do you call. I went in there, had a shower in the morning, and I come out in the kitchen, and Mary said, "Did you have a shower, Charlie?" I said, "Yeah." And back we did. I smelled like a dead horse. Took the marcher on the side there.
All infection was coming out.
And then I got the nurses that used to come every morning and medication.
Yeah, to med. Yeah.
After that, I had the prostate done. After that, another little operation.
So you decided to give up market gardening. So you've been through quite a bit.
I was bloody sick.
That's right.
But people didn't believe. They thought it was all fun. Mm. It wasn't all fun.
No. Well, you know your own body. You know. So now you're here to tell us.
But you've got no idea how much jealousy was on. Mm. How much jealousy. Just because I had if I got a girlfriend, she used him for money. All that. Mm. None of them used me for money.
No. Well, your wife died in 1984, didn't she?
About 34 years ago.
34 years ago. So you'd given up market gardening and... after that, you gave...
I tried to garden after, but it was no use.
So have you done travelling or anything after that? travelled, so you've...
I started travel after Gumbamari Trotter come there, and this leader had about a dozen people there, and I went there, and then after I went away with them. And the first time I went away, buddy, we went to Mount Gambier, and you know, I never travelled my life. I nearly took the house with me. I had that many clothes and went around the Mount Gambier. It was that bloody cold there. We just get around with a cardigan, that's all, you know. They were bloody cold there.
All right, so that's Mount Gambier, isn't it? Okay, well, is there anything else that you would like to add about your experiences or about your time living and working on the market garden, or anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I got a job as a land agent. It wasn't my cup of tea. I was offered a job at the Botanic Garden, and it wasn't my cup of tea. I was offered a job if I wanted to drive the bus when the bus mob, because one of the bloke I was in the army with me, he was one of the big chief down the bus thing down to Hackney.
Oh, bus depot, yeah, yeah.
He said, "Charlie, why don't you come drive a bus?" I said, "No, I didn't want to drive a bus." But they said, "Look, a lot of the tenants can't even speak. They drive buses." Because that time they had the bloke used to collect money and everything. All they do had a drive.
Yeah.
And they take you about 2-3 weeks, and they show you where to go, you know. It wouldn't be no trouble, you know, all that. But I didn't like when I drive bus. Then Mr. Tatton, the manager there, he wanted to buy me apple orchard up where you...
Lenswood, you said, yeah, before.
And the trouble is that time they had horses in there. And I said and my late wife didn't like the hills. She wouldn't go there, you know. And anyhow, then I said to, first of all, you have to be 2 years before getting the apples. The first year you have to grow, and the following year you might get some fruit, and then you have to spray and all that. You know, it wasn't easy. But he was going to give me so much a week there, but my late wife didn't want to move. But I want to get away from the market garden. I went to Lindock. I nearly bought a place there, 80 acres there. Mm-hmm. It was 40 acres of vineyards and 40 acres of thing there. I could have made a fortune. I grow what I call 40 acres of rock melons. I'd pay off for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. Then we went to see another place, Mount Compass. There was a dairy place. It was quite good. But the wife said, "How can you take on that? You've got to go every morning at 4 o'clock. You have to get the milk ready and have to put it on the road and want to pick it up." He said, "If something happened to you, who's going to make your bloody cows?" And that never happened. Then we went to see another place, Lindock. No, not Lindock. Meadows.
Oh, Meadows, yeah, Meadows, yeah.
There was 80 acres of land there. And this one, she had some cows and that. And I said to her, "Look, I don't want the cows. I just take the land and she would come at it." So, you know, but I did want to move.
Mm. But it didn't happen. That's all right. It didn't.
But a lot of the market garden thing, they sold their property. Mm. They got nothing. They sold to a bloke called Reed Murray. They were a bloody crook. They put acres right up to what they called Smithfield. A lot of the poor bugger never got paid. Mm. And another one there, Markwick, they had 5 acres of land on Sabetta Road there.
Yeah, Markwick, yeah.
They sold it to Reed Murray. They gave 20 cents to a dollar.
For the land?
But they had to go and get a job. They never, well,
20 cents to the acre, you mean? 20
they
cents
they lost 5 acres of land.
What did that? What were they growing on the land, though? What was on
they used to grow what they call carrots and cabbage.
And they sold the land.
They sold to River Murray, and River Murray never paid. Mm. The lady that used to, Mrs. Crook, the one I used to go and get my chicken from her, she was a millionaire. I didn't know she was that rich.
The one at Gawler, was it?
Yeah, one at Gawler. I used to go and get the chicken menu from her. She lost £20,000 within. But she, when she died, she left $1 million to Williamstown retirement place.
Oh, lovely.
She left $1 million there.
That was her legacy.
And I don't know where the other $4 million went. Oh, and yet she was so mean. Mm. I never met her so mean. When I first went there to ask for manure, I went there and she said, no, no, you've got to tell him, like, tax it. Anyhow, after a while, I was going away. I said, thanks very much. That's a Gawler, you know. There.
Yeah.
After a while, she's a little skinny woman, and she tapped me on the shoulder. He says, I like you. I said, all right. If you like me, it's all right. She said, I'm going to help you.
Oh, that's...
He said, I've got a little bit of manure out there about big as this table here. And I said, Mrs. Crook, I'll give you £2 for it. Let me throw with a shovel on the thing. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, you have to put it in the bags because I don't know how to charge you. So anyway, to put this bloody stuff in the bags. She said, anyhow, I'll take your number, telephone number, and see what happened, you know. But the other bloke was paying less. She put the price up. She rings me up. He said, if you want the manure, we'll give it to you. The husband used to fill up the bags. All I go there, pay $2 a bag. You know, I get 30, 40 bags. What do you call it? Mm. Oh, I told you I'm not.
Okay. Now, that's lovely. Thank you for the lovely stories. And just lastly, before I finish this interview, how do you spend your time now? What do you do? What activities do you do? How do you spend your day?
I've been away a lot of time. I've been everywhere. I've been New Zealand. I've been Queensland. Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra.
So you like to travel? You like to travel?
Well, I travel with the English there. And then after that, the English girl, she wanted me to sell him, go away. And I didn't want to do it. I would have stayed with her. She's a good looking woman.
Yeah.
And very clever too.
Yeah.
She can drive and everything else. But then, Doreen and then they hate her, you know.
Well, you've got to try and please your family sometimes, don't you? Now, you've still got chickens and that at home, haven't you? How many chickens do you have?
I got 11.
11 chickens.
But I got, I had quails, I had pigeons. I had what I call ducks, sheep.
Everything.
I bought two sheep and a ram. Oh, I told you, ducks. Oh, I told you, rats. I used to grow rats. Heaps of them.
That's what it's like on the garden, isn't it?
Oh, what a good right.
All right, thank you.
And then my next door neighbour, I went with him a lot. He used to go and help... This family of Karen Joan, Mum and Dad. She used to be on Channel 2, Karen Jones.
Okay.
Lovely lady. She now and again, she'd go see Cyril there. She'd come see me too.
Oh, okay.
Lovely local. And she adopted three Indian kids. They're grown up now. She put them up.
Yeah.
And the parents had about 30 acres up somewhere there. And they had horses there. And then they sold it. They both passed away. Mm-hmm. They were lovely people. She was a mother's Indian and is Australian.
Okay.
And a brother of Karen Joan, he's gone over German, over there. He's that clever, he used to play the violin.
Mm.
He got into the German's
orchestra, is it?
Yeah. And he could speak the language better than the Germans. And not only there plays the violin, he gets on the radio and got a station there.
Wow, and that's all from Athelstan, from around when you lived. They were your neighbours, were they? They're your neighbours, are they? Yeah.
I still get on with my next door neighbours.
Yeah.
We've been 30 years, or 33 years.
Is there anyone else that's still market gardening in your area, or what's the area like now? It's all houses, So you get on really well with your neighbours, that's lovely. And they've been living there a long time.
Yeah, well, she was a school teacher. Mm. They're all right. Mm. You know, they English, they're different than us.
Yeah.
If they eat, they invite you. That's how they are.
Yeah, that's lovely. All right. Well, thank you very much, Charlie. It's been very interesting. Thank you very much for telling us your story. And we will celebrate the fact that you've given us a wonderful insight into your time.
Thanks very much for your tea tonight.
Thank you.
It was lovely.
Thank you so much.